Well, I personally am so grateful that you followed whatever it was that got you here. It is such a blessing to have you, and the same with the rest of you who have spoken. I have the same practice that you do about what's the worst that can happen. And I used to say, when I started giving services, which was 14 years ago, I would say, it's going to be over in an hour. It's going to be over in an hour. And what's the worst that could happen is, you know, I won't die, but I might embarrass myself or something like that. I find repeatedly what I think is the worst that can happen goes to immediate self-judgment or assumption that people will be judging me, that I will lose my credibility because I won't know what I'm talking about, or I'll do this badly and people will think, how the heck did she get to be up there or something like that. But that all stems to this place of personal judgment that is not a place of peace and is not a place of power. Many years ago, I was in a circle of friends where I realized that when things were really getting tough, what was called for from me, even though I wasn't good at doing it yet, was more of me, more of the true love of me being present and pouring myself into it instead of backing off and trying to make it work, trying to make everybody happy. You know, just, you might not know all the Enneagrams, but there's a part of the Enneagram that's called the chameleon, where you just keep changing yourself to make everybody happy. It's a bad way of being a peacemaker. A true peacemaker delivers love and has this effect of inviting people into the greatness of themselves. A peacemaker who's worried about themselves and how other people are doing keeps shifting things, hoping eventually everybody will be happy. And I'll tell you right now, it never works. Never, 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 never. And I mean never. Because if you, in fact, are making this person happy, the person that's a few paces off is like, well, what the hell just happened? Now I'm not happy. And so you can keep shifting yourself into exhaustion. This idea of being at peace is essential to have a well-running machine that can fly. David's been speaking so much about going into the headwinds, taking off and flying. I certainly don't want to be flying with the machine that I'm pretending works. I mean, really, you know, we can fake it. And, you know, like, all of a sudden we're flying, but we have not tested all our engines because we've been playing in a field of this is what's making people happy. And there is no fuel that can keep that machine in the air, I promise you. You will crash because you are flying on fake fuel. You're flying with the attempt to use the fumes of other people's happiness. Right? I mean, it's like, well, somebody loves me today. I got to find somebody else to love me so I can stay here. I have to find someone looking at me and saying, oh, beauty, I'm thankful. It is a false sense of security when our sense of fuel and flight comes outside of ourselves. We will have a much more powerful experience of flight and joy when we're doing it together. But if you're relying on it coming from outside yourself without it coming from within yourself, it is certain crashing. Because if another person's mood changes, you start flapping like crazy, hoping to stay aloft on, again, the fumes of someone else's appreciation. If you pray that things work out in a certain way and they don't, you will be certain that life does not work. This morning, I have a 92-year-old patient who still drives her car, and she drives herself to church every morning. She goes to Catholic Mass in Fort Collins. Pretty sharp lady, I'm telling you. But she came in this morning and she said, I'm really sorry I'm late, but we prayed extra hard today. She said, we're really having to pray. I said, you know, what are you praying about, you know? And she didn't want to say because she had a certain amount of embarrassment, but it's, you know, those priests. And all that's happening in her church. Well, and it's in the East mostly where a lot of the stories are coming from. I asked her, so what are you praying for? Or who, or what? And she said, well, it's too hard to explain. But she eventually got out. She said, I'm praying for all those children who were ruined, damaged. And she had her whole belief that, you know, if you become a priest, you promised to be celibate. And if you didn't want to be celibate, then stop being a priest. And she had her all explanation in her own head. Because, you know, me being the bold person I am said, well, I think it is pretty silly to think it's a holier thing to be celibate than to be spiritually intimate with somebody. And she said, well, if you're going to change your mind, quit the priesthood, you know, if you can't do it. Her desire, you could just see her going, well, I'm praying for the children, but I'm also praying for my church. I mean, something that she's 92, she's been going to Mass every day. Her community, her sense of belonging in something is feeling totally unstable to her. And she, how do you pray for something that actually has dysfunction in it to keep it alive with the dysfunction in it? That, so when she said, I really can't explain it, it's because in some ways it's not explainable. How do you pray for the church to continue when the church is had all this violation in it? What you do is you pray for the presence of God and the experience of love. But if you're seeing it just through that channel, you will always feel brokenhearted because it is not how love works. Love does not come through cleanly in a system that's unclean. And I'm not saying that about the church, I'm saying that about our own hearts. Like, if I say what's needed is more of me, the love of me, if I'm trying to force it through a belief pattern about myself that I'll only be lovable if people see me a certain way, it's not going to be very powerful. I am going to be flapping my arms and I'm going to crash. It has to be the revelation of love coming through me as me, as the angel I am, as the person I am. I incarnated it to do it this way, and I've been trying to do it, perhaps in a distorted way, for many, many years. I think we all have. We all have. I loved David's story about the Vietnam War. Oh, that was painful, but the anger and the pain you have in yourself is even more painful than what's happening outside yourself. I mean, she's praying also, they're building a new church in Fort Collins. It's like they're praying for the money for the church and all these things that, how does God answer all those things if you think you're praying to somebody else who's going to deliver the answer? It's tricky. Uma was talking about the experience of shame or being in the middle of chaos and deciding to change the rules. One of the values of changing the rules is that you can have a freed up experience. One of the dangers is nobody knows how to play with you anymore because now you've changed the rules, and like when you start, the new rule is when I'm uncomfortable, I'm going to start tapping my head. People are going to wonder, well, this is a new game, you know, or whatever it is that you're changing about your expression. So that is, in some ways, it is a potent way to push through some of the things you believe about yourself because you're now changing the rules about how you think you need to be in the world. And as you do that, you're going to make other people uncomfortable, and then you can see really how it is to be you in the world. Because, I mean, some of the rules you create might be silly, but they also just might be, I'm going to be myself and say, well, when I'm tired, I'm going to sit down. That's a new rule. And people went, why is she taking a break? She's tired. And then you've got to explain, well, this is a new reality. And I'm imposing Uma's suggestion on something I've never done, so I should just stop talking about this because I don't know how to do that. So one of the rules I have is only talk about what you know, Jane, so shut up now because you don't know what you're talking about. It's much easier to talk about what you know. This week in Full Self-Emergence, we're still in, this is our last week. This is the last Wednesday service that is, now I'm assuming that's a celebration of how wonderful it is to have fulfilled my mission through Full Self-Emergence as opposed to, thank God.
Next Wednesday, we have 12 left.
Right. I was actually thinking about having all the FSC people have to speak up here for this service, Ashley.
I can come up there and say something.
Okay. I'm standing here so she doesn't take up too much time.
I'm out. What I learned this week about peace was the fact that when I was writing my, I still wrote a piece on peace. I didn't say it out loud at service, but I thought about how peace to me was about the future. And then when Courtney Bowman said, well, peace is right now, and it made me realize that peace is not in the future, peace is right now. I still kind of argue with myself about how I still wish for peace to be in the future. Because, I mean, the peace is for the children in the next generation. So I still kind of wrestle with that a little bit. But peace within yourself, I can't not even tell you how much peace I have found within myself amidst all the chaos that tries to keep coming back into my life. So that's one thing I just wanted to speak on about how peace really isn't necessarily in the future. I still wish for it to be in the future, but peace right now will eventually make peace come in the future, so.
Thanks, Ashley. The reality is you can have both. You know, to have peace right now and bring it with you into the future so that it is present, and not, as Courtney was saying in the expansion, she said, it's not like everything has to line up and then chunk, peace shows up. There is that beautiful quote, if you want to have peace in the world, you need to have peace in a country. If you want to have peace in a country, you have to have peace in the state. If you want to have peace in the state, you have to have peace in your neighborhood. And if you want to have peace in the neighborhood, you have to have peace in the family. If you want to have peace in a family, you have to have peace between a husband and wife, mother and father. And if you want to have peace between two people, you have to have peace yourself. You can't do it the other way around. It's got to start with peace in the internal state of a person. And peace in, from the state of being at peace is when the full force of your love can pour into the world. Otherwise, it is trying to get through the patterns you have decided of how you're supposed to look and everybody else is. I had the experience a couple times this week where someone complimented me on something or said something to me about, some of it was after the FSC course, my last presentation on Monday. And it's still complimenting me on who I am as a person, what I bring. I still find myself having to deal with the filter of, yeah, right. And, you know, I'm not saying that so people feel sorry for me, but I'm bringing it to the point of how powerful it is when someone says that to say, yeah, to accept that the love I poured out mattered and not have it be, I'm still trying to get good or trying to be at peace. Because the step of greatness now through what I know now may change, but it is the path that God sees here, to have a spiritual practice of the delivery of yourself so that what's growing in your garden is paradise. We're so familiar with shame, self-doubt, and criticism that the power to play stops when that comes in. So to know the spiritual practice of saying, not welcome here, not welcome here. So we had this wonderful experience of peace this weekend, and I want us all to be in it as we welcome this next cycle of the Servers Week that's starting on Saturday. Just we have an influx of people we don't get to see all the time who are about this with us. So may we let them feel welcome. May we love them as cleanly and as powerfully as we can so that they might know the experience of what we've been doing together, and that we might know the experience of what they're doing. So I'm just wondering if there's anything anyone needs to say before we close this hour.
Thank you, Jean.
Thanks. Kiahi? Welcome home. What do you think? Give peace a chance. All we are saying is give peace a chance. All we are saying is give peace a chance. All we are saying is give peace a chance. I would ask you not to applaud. Just hold this atmosphere. Thank you, and have a wonderful evening.